in St. Luke's. This is Shannon. Welcome to our second digital service. I'm going to do announcements really quickly. First announcement, please update your information in the directory. If you could just take a minute and click on the link that's in the posting, it's also in the PDF bulletin, and just make sure that all of your information is correct. We found that a lot of the phone numbers in there are wrong, and we just want to be able to get a hold of everybody so that we can give you the most up-to-date information, and so we can check on everybody and make sure everybody's doing okay. So we'd really appreciate you just taking a few minutes to do that. And if you need help with the directory, you can email me. My email address is right there in the posting too, and I can reset passwords for you, give you links, anything that you need to make that easier. A couple of questions have been coming in. First question is, if I'm not attending church in church, how can I get my pledge to you? Well, thank you so much for asking. There's a link in the posting to Tithely, which is an online giving system that allow you to send money to the church in a very secure way, and it's very easy. So that's what we would recommend, but if that's not your preference, you know, you can always mail in a check, and we're still checking the mail over there, so that'll get to us just as well. Next question, what about Easter? I think right now we're planning ahead for a digital Easter. It would be wonderful if we could all be back in the church together by that time, but I think that it's wise for us to go ahead and plan that we may not be able to do that. It's really important right now that we take the advice of our public health officials so that we can do what's best for the community. So we're going to go ahead and plan for a digital Easter. And then just to hope that we'll be able to get back together in the church as soon as possible. So the follow-up question to that is, all the kids are saying, what about the Easter egg hunt? Kids, I don't care what day we get back in the church. I don't care if it's in June. Whatever day that is, we're going to have the biggest Easter egg hunt you've ever seen. Get your baskets ready. The egg hunt will happen. It may be a little late, but we're going to make it happen. So you guys just stick with us, and we're all going to get through this together. Here are a few other things that are going on around the church this week. Book study. If you've never attended book study before, they are meeting on Monday and Wednesdays via Zoom, so you can join in digitally, and it's still going on. And if you've thought, gee, I've always liked to try that, but I'm always too busy, well, a lot of us have a little extra time on our hands right now, so you can go ahead and connect via Zoom and enjoy book study. The information is in the posting on how to go ahead and get into those groups. And then a new event, Merrick is leading a St. Luke's biweekly peace meeting. This is going to be Sundays at 1 p.m. starting today, just a few hours, and Wednesday at 7 p.m. And the idea here is for just all of us to get together, again, via Zoom, which is a video chat interface, or you can join by audio, or you can call in with your phone if you don't have a computer. And the idea there is just for us to all see each other's faces and hear each other's voices and talk for a little bit and make sure we're all okay. So please come and join that. Give that a try. If you've never used Zoom before, it's very easy, and Merrick has offered technical support as well. So thank you very much. All right, we're going to go ahead and start the service. Your light and your truth, that they may lead me and bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Psalm 43, verse 3.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on us, forgive us all our sins, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen us all in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen.
Gracious Father, whose blessed Son, Jesus Christ, came down from heaven to be the true bread which gives life to the world, evermore give us this bread, that he may live in us and we in him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, look graciously on the people of St. Luke's Church. Be with us in this season of transition. Walk with us and guide us that we may be genuine in our self-reflection, tireless in our commitment, patient in our discernment, loving in our communion, open in our search, and daring in our faith. We thank you for the gifts, talents, and skills with which you have blessed us. We thank you for the experiences that have brought us to this moment. Help us accept change as a gift of your direction for our journey in this transition. Instill in us a vision for our parish, that guided by your Holy Spirit, we will be united in love and joyfully accomplish this mission. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our reading from the first book of Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you grieve over Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and set out. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons." Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears of it, he will kill me." And the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you, and say, 'I have come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I name to you." Samuel did what the Lord commanded, and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came to meet him, trembling, and said, "Do you come peaceably?" He said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." And he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed is now before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or on the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. He said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Then Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, "Neither has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all your sons here?" And he said, "There remains yet the youngest, but he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes here." He sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. The Lord said, "Rise and anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. From that day forward, Samuel then set out and went to Ramah. The word of the Lord.
We're going to read Psalm 23 antiphonally, starting with the right side of the church. I know we're not technically in the church, but you know what, you guys? We sit in the same pews every week, and you know what side of the church you sit on. So if you're on the right half of the internet, you're going to read with Sean the first part of the phrase. And if you're in the left half of the internet, you're going to read with me the second part of the phrase.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not be in want.
He makes me lie down in green pastures.
And leads me beside still waters.
He revives my soul.
And guides me along right pathways for his name's sake.
Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil.
For you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me.
You spread a table before me in the presence of those who trouble me.
They have anointed my head with oil, and my cup is running over.
Surely your goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Our reading from the book of Ephesians. Once you were darkness, but now in the Lord you are light. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what such people do secretly. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible. For everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." The word of the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel according to John. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had sent him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' Then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him?" "It was your eyes he opened," he said. "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but we do not know how it is that he now sees, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that anyone who confessed Jesus to be the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind, and they said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "I do not know whether he is a sinner. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" They reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Here is an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, You were born entirely in sin, and are you trying to teach us? And they drove him out. Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, Do you believe in the Son of Man? He answered, And who is he, sir? Tell me that I may believe in him. Jesus said to him, You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Jesus said, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, Surely we are not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, If you were blind, you would not have sinned. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. Here ends the reading. And now let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. This is a new experience for me. I'm normally used to standing in front of all of you, preaching without notes, and responding as you respond to what I have to say. Last week, I tried this with my computer, and it didn't respond. It just sat there. So this week, I wrote out my sermon, and I hope that this is a slightly better experience for you. When I was in seminary, there was a reception desk in the lobby of the front building, staffed by the spouse of another student. We lived and went to school on a city block on Manhattan Island in New York. The block was secure with only 3 entry points and only one for the public in the front building on 9th Avenue. One evening, just before evensong, a blind gentleman approached the reception desk. The spouse behind the desk said very loudly, Can I help you? After a brief pause, the blind man said, I am blind, not deaf. He went on to explain that he would like to attend evensong. One of the other students in the lobby escorted the blind man to the chapel, where the service is still held every weekday evening at 5:30 p.m. As he walked along, Jesus saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. No one in my family is blind. The closest we come is my father. He was colorblind. It kept him out of the Navy in World War II, but not out of the Army, where he served as an officer. However, all of us in our family had to keep a sharp eye out, where my father would wear some pretty awful color combinations if left to his own devices. My older sister was so worried about this trait that it might jump a generation, so she had her oldest child tested when he was 3. The test showed a variety of snakes made of dots among dots of other colors. The person administering the test decided my nephew was not colorblind. However, on the way home, my precocious nephew asked his mother, What were the snakes supposed to look like? I did not see any snakes. She promptly had him retested. He is not colorblind. The key to this gospel lesson is found in the verse, Jesus answered, Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. There has been a long-standing, even ancient assumption about the relationship between sin and disease or disability. Right now, I suspect a lot of people are treating the coronavirus pandemic as a result of human sin in general and with a variety of sins in particular. Let me be completely clear. There is no causal relationship between sin and disabilities or illness. You cannot become sick or disabled by sinning. What is truly remarkable about this passage is that a man who was born blind was immediately able to see when Jesus healed him. The man born blind says it himself in this passage. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. Oliver Sacks, the psychiatrist and anthropologist in his book, An Anthropologist on Mars, describes a man who lost his eyesight in very early childhood and who regained his sight as a middle-aged adult. He was never able to, quote, see, end of quote, what you and I take for granted. His biggest problem was with motion. The world is not a photograph. It is in constant motion. His brain never learned to perceive motion. And by the time he regained his sight, it was too late. He grew severely depressed and ultimately took his own life. That is not to say that it is impossible for God. All things are possible with God, no matter how improbable they may seem to us. But Jesus even points out that this healing of a blind man is not just about the physical ability to see. Jesus said, "I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, "Surely we are not blind, are we?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say, 'We see,' your sin remains." All of us are just a little blind of our own sins, our own prejudices, and our own foibles. I want to share with you a poem by James A. Autry, former editor and publisher of Better Homes and Gardens. It is called On Paying Attention. There was a time in my volunteer life when I began to give in to the seductions of righteousness and to think of my work as a sacrifice for the good of others. I would make schedules that no one should try so that people would ask how it is possible for one man to do so much. It was a time of 3 speeches in 3 cities in one day. In all the scurrying, I did not want the delay of a restroom conversation with a hesitant little man in a cheap new suit. I needed a quick pee, 5 minutes to think, and 2 minutes to get to the podium. But there he was, with a side effects I knew so well, the puffy cheeks, the swollen gums, as he smiled and told me he had a new job now and hadn't had a seizure in 6 months. I gave him the quick backpack pat and the smile, never expecting to see him again. But he sat in the front row and smiled a greeting when I rose to speak, the dignitary from the national office, bringing word from Washington, the National Commission, the Hill, the White House. He smiled too often and over-nodded and made too much of his notes, clicking his pen and turning pages back and forth, as if studying what he'd written. When our eyes met, he smiled and nodded. Another guy, I thought, who wants people to think he knows the speaker. So I avoided looking at him. Until he shuffled, crossed his legs, and stretched them out in front of him. When I saw the soles of his shoes, slightly soiled, less than a day worn, I realized that he had bought the suit and shoes just for this meeting. Just to hear a speech squeezed into an afternoon between two other cities. He had looked forward to it, planned for it, put new job money into it, and would make notes so that he could remember always what the important man came to teach. But the lesson was mine to learn about sacrifice and counting blessings, about patience and paying attention to teachers wherever I find them. This poem always kind of moves me. The season of Lent is about seeing a little more clearly, whether it takes paying closer attention to the world and people around us, or whether we finally get past those little sins that block our view. We want to see God's love for us completely and unhindered. It is a beautiful sight. I want to end with the first verse of Amazing Grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. May this Lent help you to lose all of your blindness so that you too may see, but now I see.
Let us say together the Nicene Creed.
We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. Clothe your ministers with righteousness. Let your people sing with joy. Give peace, O Lord, in all the world, for only in you can we live in safety. Lord, keep this nation under your care and guide us in the way of justice and truth. Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations. Let not the needy, O Lord, be forgotten, nor the hope of the poor be taken away. Create in us clean hearts, O God, and sustain us with your Holy Spirit.
Prayer for Mission. Almighty and everlasting God, by whose Spirit the whole body of your faithful people is governed and sanctified, receive our supplications and prayers which we offer before you for all members of your holy church, that in their vocation and ministry they may truly and devoutly serve you, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Of Prayer of Saint Chrysostom. Almighty God, you have given us grace at this time with one accord to make our common supplication to you. And you have promised through your well-beloved Son that when two or three are gathered together in his name, you will be in the midst of them. Fulfill now, O Lord, our desires and petitions as may be best for us, granting us in this world knowledge of your truth, and in the age to come, life everlasting. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Glory to God, whose power is working in us, can do infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Glory to him from generation to generation in the church, and in Christ Jesus forever and ever. Amen.
Shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. And all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. When you go and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. Well, you go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth. The mountains and the hills will break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. But you go out with joy. You shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shouts of joy. All the trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap their hands. Trees of the fields will clap.